God gives spiritual giants to certain generations. One such spiritual giant that was given to our generation was A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer was a man not of great or distinctive education, but a man who used the gifts which God gave him most effectively. He became a prominent and effective pastor in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, also became a prolific and powerful writer. From 1960 to 1963, he was the editor of the Alliance Witness, the magazine, the publication of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Through those years, he penned editorials which had a significant effect on the lives of the readers of the Alliance Witness, and some of those were compiled after Tozer finished his editorship into a book entitled That Incredible Christian. One of the articles that appears in that book and previously appeared as an editorial in the Alliance Witness deeply impressed me when I first read it in 1970. Impressed me because it captured so well the essence of the biblical picture of what spirituality is all about. Like you, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And like you, it's my desire to live a life that is marked by those spiritual characteristics which God seeks and which God wants in my life. This evening, briefly, I'd like us to look together at seven marks of spirituality which came originally from the pen of A.W. Tozer and use them as a springboard for self-evaluation, admittedly, but also a springboard for challenge in our own spiritual lives. The first Tozer lists is the desire to be holy rather than happy. You ever thought about the difference between happiness and holiness? Maybe that's not a comparison that we would normally make. But happiness is when we have a right relationship to the circumstances that are around us, so that when things are going the way we like, we're happy. Holiness, quite by contrast, is having a right relationship with God. Ephesians 1:4 tells us that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Or also the words that Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, as He who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's quite an order, that we be holy like God, that we be separated into a life and a lifestyle that abhors sin and seeks to be like Jesus Christ. Happiness is normally the world's criterion for evaluating how things are in marriage, in job, in community, in self. So that if we're not happy, then we say, well, then that marriage isn't working. Or if there's happiness missing in a job, then we want another job. Or if we don't feel happy about ourselves, then we say life is not what it ought to be. Now, I don't underestimate the importance of happiness. Like everyone else, I want to be happy in life. Who doesn't? But the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, the person of God, says that holiness is more important than happiness. Holiness, that separation unto God's way, is the spiritual Christian's significantly higher criterion for measuring all of the matters of life. What if we come to a choice? What if the choice comes where we have to decide between holiness and happiness? What is the option that we choose? John Wesley, years ago, evaluated one of his early Methodist societies, and he criticized them because they enjoyed coming to church too much. And he said, you ought not so much enjoy coming to church. Instead, you ought to come so that you can learn to be holy. The mark of the spiritual man, the mark of the spiritual woman, is the desire to be holy rather than happy. And then secondly, the desire to see the honor of God advance through life, even if it means suffering temporary dishonor or loss. Another way of saying that, in a shorter way, is saying, what's more important, your reputation or God's reputation? Jesus said in John 8, verses 49 and 50, I honor my Father. I do not seek my own glory. Jesus, who was the model, the pattern, said that he was more concerned about God the Father's reputation than he was concerned about his own reputation. Or as Tozer graphically puts it, the spiritual man gasps for the glory of God as a suffocating man gasps for breath. God's reputation, is that more important than our own reputation? Do you remember when Mary and Martha came to Jesus with the very heavy news that the man whom he dearly loved, Lazarus, was terminally ill? They said, Lord, the man whom you love is about to die. And Jesus responded by saying, this illness that Lazarus has is unto the glory of God. Can you imagine that kind of perspective that says even trauma and tragedy in life, even difficulty, and even in that case, terminal illness and death, that was for the glory of God? The spiritual Christian says God's reputation and God's glory is that important that if need be, I'd be willing even to suffer. In fact, if need be, I'd be even willing to die so that God's reputation can be enhanced. The spiritual man, the spiritual woman is willing to suffer illness, misunderstanding, criticism, malice, hate, anything, if it might glorify God. And then a third measure, or third mark of the spiritual Christian, is that the spiritual man wants to carry his cross. Some people refer to the common difficulties of life as the cross that they bear. I remember someone well-meaning who once spoke to me about some friends of ours and referred to the physically and mentally handicapped daughter of that young couple and said, they certainly have their cross to bear in life, don't they? Well, they didn't see it that way. But as far as the Bible's concerned, that kind of physical handicap isn't the cross that Jesus talked about. He wasn't talking about the things that are shared alike by sinner and saint. The cross of Jesus Christ is not talking about sickness or unemployment or inflation or psychological depression. Those are the things that everybody has. The cross of Jesus Christ is the cross of discipleship, the one about which Jesus spoke in Luke 9:23. And he said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What is it then? The cross is that extra adversity in life which we experience as Christians because of our obedience to Jesus Christ. Something that otherwise, were we not Christians obeying the Savior, we would not have to bear. And we would not have to experience. So it's a voluntary thing. The spiritual man, the spiritual woman, is no masochist who enjoys suffering. Doesn't seek a cross and say, oh, I'd like to have a little bit of agony today. By no means. The spiritual Christian, though, is one who, when it comes and when the opportunity is there, counts it a privilege to experience adversity for Jesus' sake. A fourth mark of the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, is that a Christian is spiritual when he sees everything from God's viewpoint. Isaiah quoted the Lord in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, as saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your, or so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How then can we have that perspective of God in life? Well, you see, the difference is that God looks not only at people and at things and at circumstances, but God also looks through them. He sees beyond the apparent, the superficial thing, the outside appearance of things, so that God looks not only in the outside, but God looks at the heart, so that God sees his plan for the earth, even in the midst of difficult international turmoils, so that God sees the spiritual strength of the body of Jesus Christ, even when, from outside appearance, it seems to be nothing but weakness within his local church. God focuses on the working of all things together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And not just on the ups and the downs, the fluctuations of circumstances. Well, that means then that when the Christian who walks with Jesus Christ looks at life, the spiritual man, the spiritual woman, that person has come to know God and come to know him well enough to be able to look at life from his point of view. That means that the man of God, the woman of God, isn't quite so affected by the tides of life's experiences. There's able to be an equilibrium, a consistency, a constancy about life, because there is the ability to see that God is there amidst all of the ups and downs, that God is a God who is providentially taking care of things. That means then that the spiritual Christian experiences peace, even when others lack peace. That means that the spiritual Christian experiences the burden for the lost, even when other people don't know too much about the burden for those that are lost. That means that the spiritual Christian can be concerned about righteousness, even when it means that he or she must be angry because of sin. And then a fifth mark of spirituality, and that is the desire to die right rather than live wrong. Lots of people say that the way to evaluate life is to evaluate attitude towards death and the way someone dies. The spiritual Christian is one who is far more concerned about quality of life than about quantity of life. The spiritual Christian does not fear death so much as the spiritual Christian is deeply afraid of compromise or mediocrity in the Christian life. Again, let me quote from Tozer, who said concerning the spiritual Christian, he will not purchase a few extra days of life at the cost of compromise or failure. He wants most of all to be right, and he's happy to let God decide how long he shall live. He knows that he can afford to die now that he is in Christ, but he knows that he cannot afford to do wrong. He can afford to die, but he cannot afford to do wrong. And this knowledge becomes a gyroscope to stabilize his thinking and acting. Paul saw it that way. He wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 1:20, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I shall not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." And then a sixth mark of spirituality, and maybe this is the most difficult test of them all, the desire to see others advance, even at the expense of the man or the woman of Jesus Christ. The spiritual Christian is so deeply concerned with what God wants and the way God does things that he or she can and will be pleased when other Christians are honored. That means that in the life of the spiritual Christian, there's no envy, no resentment, no malice when he's overlooked, when someone else gets her promotion, when someone else receives the appreciation that the spiritual Christian normally would have gotten. Instead, the person who walks with Jesus Christ and truly has that mark of spirituality is one who is simply pleased with the praise of Jesus Christ and pleased with doing what needs to be done for him and for him alone. So there is no need for the applause or the accolades of sinful mankind. Again, it was Paul who said it in Philippians 2, verses 3 to 5. He said, "Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." The mark of the spiritual Christian is the mark of deep-rooted concern about the advancement of others. And with that comes freedom and joy, so that there's no longer that competitiveness about life that says I have to get ahead at someone else's expense. But instead, life comes into the perspective of saying, I do what I do for the glory of Jesus Christ, and I count upon him for the advancement and the fulfillment and the satisfaction of life. And what he does, I can accept and I can glory in. What he says is right for me and is right for others. The desire to see others advance, even at his or her expense. And finally, the spiritual Christian habitually makes eternity judgments instead of time judgments. How prone we are to set life strategy for the short range, doing it on earth time, rather than for the long range, doing it on eternity's time. What a waste to live life for material possessions, to live life for fame, for money, for things that escape us, for things that cannot be carried beyond the grave. And what a contrast it is. What an investment to live life for Jesus Christ, with whom we will spend all of eternity. So that the spiritual Christian is far more concerned about relationships than he's concerned about recognition for himself. The spiritual Christian is far more concerned about prayer than she is about prestige. The spiritual Christian is more inclined to edification of others than egotism about himself. The spiritual Christian lives life from the perspective of eternity, as if he or she had died and gone to heaven and come back and temporarily was living here, but living from the perspective of eternity, so that all of this life was evaluated from having lived already in heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ. Tozer says, such a man would rather be useful than famous and would rather serve than be served. That's an amazing list. Maybe too difficult a list. Maybe we sit back and say, oh, well, there may be people like that. But as far as I'm concerned, I see such marks of spirituality to be little more than an impossible dream. But it's not an impossible dream. There are many, many, many Christians who live out day by day the marks of spirituality here listed, and far, far more. In fact, such are many of you. I see your lives. I see your testimony. I see you in the midst of crisis, and I see you on the top of success. And I see those marks of spirituality coming through, which cannot be counterfeited, cannot be fabricated. These marks of spirituality, hey, they can't be attained by human effort. Somebody doesn't decide tomorrow morning, Monday, the 10th of July, 1978, I'm going to start being spiritual. Starting then, I'm going to live for the glory of God, and starting then, I'm going to see others ahead of myself. Starting then, I'm going to have all these characteristics. Hey, it doesn't happen that way. Such is not accomplished by human initiative, nor human ingenuity, nor human power. Such is accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit, evidencing itself in human life. Well, you say, but there's a hunger, a thirst in my life to really be that spiritual Christian, hardly to brag over marks of spirituality, but to really experience the fullness of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in my life. How then, if I can't initiate it, if I can't counterfeit it, if I can't fabricate it, how then shall I attain to those marks of the spiritual life? When the Lord has created that thirst within you, then tell him of your desire for spirituality. Spirituality not for your sake, but spirituality for Christ's sake. Tell him. Tell him that you have that hunger and thirst to have those marks in your life, and then commit yourself to the rule of the Holy Spirit in your life, that he genuinely will mold and shape you, that he will teach you, that he will make you the woman of God, the man of God, and then praise him for what he's already doing and what he'll continue to do in your life, so that you, like tens of thousands, like millions of other Christians, will have the imprint of the Holy Spirit there always for all to see. The marks of spirituality. Tonight I echo the words that Paul wrote to the Philippians when he said, I'm sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who started that work in you at the instant of salvation is hard at work in your life to bring it to completion, that you might bear in daily living the marks of spirituality. By God's grace, may you be complete in Jesus Christ. Let's stand and pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that Christians can be and are different. That the rule of life is not the rule of the world, but is the rule of your Spirit. That there's a qualitative, distinctive difference in our lives. Lord, we recognize our sinfulness. We recognize our weaknesses and our shortcomings. But we dare not so dwell upon them that we neglect to see the work of your Son perfecting us in his image. Lord, give to us the marks of spirituality. May our lives live for Jesus Christ, and may we go from this place simply honoring and glorifying him in all that we do. May we be spiritual men and women for Jesus' sake. Amen. Good night. God bless you.